Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Over the last few weeks, we have been really enjoying and just been blessed by seeing what Jesus has done for us. Jesus left the glories of heaven. Even though He was righteously and rightly God, He chose to humble Himself, to come to earth, to come to where we are, to give His life on the cross, to be where we should have been. And rising again in resurrection, showing us that one day He will take us to where He is. It's been an amazing help for us to see the ways in which God has cared for us. And we saw this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. It says this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says this, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." This is what we remember about how Jesus gave himself for us. But we also remember this for another reason, and that reason is found in verse 5 where Paul says, "Let this mind be in you." Let the mind of Jesus be your mind too. Paul isn't saying this just to remind us of how good and how wonderful Jesus is. Paul's saying this to remind us that in the same way that Jesus humbled himself and came to where we are in that same mind to serve those he loves, in that same way, that mindset of Jesus should also be our mindset. To humble ourselves so that we can serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, those we love as well. This is what we have been looking at through 1 Corinthians. We saw in chapter 8 how Paul was asked this question. "Paul, what do we do about meat that was offered to idols? Don't we have this right, this privilege? Shouldn't this right, this freedom be ours to be able to eat meat that is offered to idols? Shouldn't we be able to do this?" And Paul says, "Well, technically, yes. Technically, you do have this right, but I want you to see this not just in your own personal self-centered way of thinking, but think of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, you may have the freedom, you may have the right to do so, but sometimes it's important for us to let go of these rights, to humble ourselves, to put ourselves where our brothers and sisters in Christ are so that we can help them and serve them, to forego, to withdraw the rights that we have to do certain things that we have may have freedom to do so that we can love them the way that Jesus loves us." So after Paul gave us these instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he continues to follow through with the instructions that Paul gave to the Corinthian church family using two examples in two chapters. Chapter 9, he uses himself and describes how he did a very similar thing for the church family. And then in chapter 10, he describes how the Israelites should have done so, but they didn't, and how it affected the Israelites themselves. And so we see these two descriptions of what it means to serve our brothers and sisters. So chapter 9 is what we're going to look at today. It's a kind of a long chapter, and what Paul says, I'm not going to be able to get it all in one day. And so this is going to be the first of a two-part message. And this is important for us to understand as we go through this, okay? We're going to look at chapter 9, where he talks about this. In this chapter, Paul talks about the right that he has to receive a certain thing from the Corinthian church family. He's like, "I have this right, and yet I have chosen not to receive it." So today we're going to actually look at what the right was, that freedom that Paul had, the right that Paul had. And next week, we're going to look at why he chose not to receive it. So this is a two-part sermon. And so the sermon is in two parts, but this is only the first half. If you come only for the first half, you're going to miss out on the whole second half of the reason behind why Paul does it. So we're going to focus in on this, but definitely don't just be here this week, be here next week too, because it's important. This is one of the fun things about going through a passage like we do. Like we always go through, very often we go through a passage of scripture. So there are some parts where it's easy for me to preach and some parts that are not so easy for me to preach. This is definitely one of those sermons that's not easy. It's a little bit uncomfortable for me to preach this, but it's incredibly important that we as a church family understand it. And so hopefully it'll be a blessing to you and it'll help us, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verse 1. Paul says this, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" See, some of the Corinthian church family, in the same way that the Corinthian church family had said, "Listen, Paul, aren't we free to eat this meat that is offered unto the idols?" Paul turns that very question around and says, "Am I not free? And am I not an apostle?" So Paul is saying, in the same way, aren't you free to eat meat offered to idols and have that freedom? Paul turns the question back to himself and says, "Am I not free?" What's he talking about? Am I not free? And he points out to the fact that he is an apostle. See, just like you have freedom as a Christian, Paul is saying, I have freedoms too. Not just as a Christian, but even more, as an apostle. One who was sent to deliver the gospel to those around the world. And Paul stops for a second to address this point. There were some in the Corinthian church family who had a hard time recognizing that Paul was an actual apostle of Jesus. And so Paul reminds them of the prerequisites, the reason that qualified him to be an actual apostle. There were two basic things. The first thing was that he had to have seen the resurrected Jesus. And Paul saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus and in a couple of other places. The second thing was that he had to be sent out by Jesus himself in order to qualify as an apostle. And Paul had seen the resurrected Jesus, and he had been sent out by Jesus to preach specifically to the Gentiles. So Paul had been qualified to be an apostle. And the funny thing is this, the Corinthian church family, they themselves were living proof that Paul actually was an apostle. Verse 2 says this, verse 1 said, "You are my work in the Lord," saying you guys are proof of that. Verse 2, "If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." You know, when he's talking about a seal, he's talking about, you know, if you have a Japanese, in Japan, we got that inkon, that seal, that inkon that says this is authentic. You know, this piece of paper, I really signed this. And you put the inkon on there to verify that it is true and authentic. And this is what Paul is saying. You guys are my inkon. You guys are proof that I am truly an apostle in Jesus. Their own existence was proof. And so Paul says, listen, so because of this, as an apostle, I have certain rights and I have certain freedoms. What are those rights? Verse 3 says this, "Mine answer to them that do examine me is this." Verse 4, "Have we not power to eat and to drink?" Don't we have the right, the freedom to eat and drink? In the same way, he's throwing the question back to the Corinthian church family. Paul, don't we have the right to eat food offered to idols? Paul says, well, yes, I described this. Let me turn that back to you. don't I have the right to eat and drink? What's he talking about here? He's not talking about food offered to idols. He's actually talking about his daily sustenance, the daily needs that he has. He's saying, do I not have the right for you to take care of my needs? This is what he's talking about, eating and drinking, having his daily needs met. Verse 5, he continues on to this. He goes a step further. Have we not power, the right to lead about a sister in Christ, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? What's he talking about here? Paul is basically asking, shouldn't we be able to expect you to care not just for our needs, but also for the needs of our families, for the needs for our wives? Look at Peter, he's saying. Look at Peter. Look at the brothers of Jesus, like James and Jude and how the other apostles. Their families are cared for. So if I decide to get married, and if I choose a sister in Christ to be a wife, that's basically what it's talking about, to lead about a sister or a wife. He's saying, if I decide to get married to a sister in Christ, have her be my wife, shouldn't I be able to expect you to care for not just me, but for my wife and for my family as well? And these are the things that he's kind of focusing in on. Shouldn't I be able to expect that for you too? Verse six says this, or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? And he's saying, you know, look at Barnabas and I. Don't we have the right to stop doing extra jobs to support ourselves as we care for you? Do we have to work and care for you at the same time? And so this is kind of what Paul's talking about. He's pointing out one of the things that he has a right to as one who is their spiritual shepherd. As he cares for their spiritual needs, he has a right to expect them to care for his physical needs. And to help him help the church family to understand this more clearly, he brings up a couple of different situations to help them to see this connection here. And he uses a soldier, he uses a farmer, and he uses a shepherd to help them to see his point as clearly as possible. Each person that he mentions has his needs met by the work that he does. Let's take a quick look. Verse 7 says this. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Who goes to war and goes at his own expense? Like, you know, can you imagine this? Can you imagine some guy joining the army and then he goes to the army and he fights during the day and then at nighttime he does like arubaito, works at 7-Eleven so he can pay for his helmet? You know, that's kind of like, you don't expect that, right? The army takes care of him. The people of the country provide for the person who gives his life to protect them. They don't expect him to work at 7-Eleven so he can buy the protection that he needs or buy extra bullets in order to protect them, right? No, it's to be expected. In the same way a farmer who plants and he plants things and he takes part in the things that he planted. He lives off of the crops that he raises, right? And the same thing. Or a shepherd who lives off of his sheep as he cares for them. We see how this is a normal part. And in the same way, a person who cares for the church family, it's interesting how Paul uses these three things because it's very similar to how someone, a shepherd, cares for the spiritual church family. One, it's like fighting a spiritual enemy to protect the church family. Another way, it's like planting and watering seeds so that the fruit of the gospel can grow in the church family. And in another way, it's like caring for the flock of a sheep as we serve the great shepherd. So Paul says, for somebody who cares for the spiritual needs of the church family, would not it be normal for the church family, in turn, to take care of the physical needs as well. So see the spiritual care for, and in turn receive physical care. And I'm going to pause here for a second because I need to point out something, just get a little bit personal here with me and my family. One is, I'm so thankful for how our needs are being met. This is amazing how God cares for us. I mean, just this last month in the church's business meeting, God has used you to even further care for our needs. And it's been amazing how our church has cared for us financially over the years. And it's amazing to see how God gives us these important opportunities to steward what he gives us. I mean, it's amazing how God takes care of us, right? And these opportunities to use the things he gives us to steward it and to use it to help reach other brothers and to help reach other Japanese and to help serve our brothers and sisters here in Japan even more. It's amazing how God takes care of us. I'm so thankful for that. The other thing that's so amazing is just seeing how our church family continues to grow in this grace of giving. Man, I tell you what, you remember when a missionary came to see us and talked about how God has been using him and how we've been able to care for him every month. But also when he came, we were able to care for him in a big way. Because our church family had this desire to serve him financially, to care for his finances as he cared for our brothers and sisters in a different part of the country, of the world. Just so many ways we see a need, we give to meet it. And this is an amazing part of how God has used this gift of this grace of giving and is growing it and nurturing it in our church family. And it's just, as a pastor, it's amazing and it's fun to see how God is helping us to grow even more in this area. I can't wait to see how God continues to use us and to see our church family grow in the ways of giving like this. It's exciting to me. And I'm so thankful for how God has helped us to grow in that area. Well, Paul isn't done. So let's continue to listen to see what Paul says. Let's continue to see how he compares this grace of receiving or this right of receiving the needs as a spiritual caregiver. Okay, all right. Next illustration that Paul uses is an ox. He uses two more illustrations to describe and to compare his situation with the Corinthian church family and how things are cared for, how the rights of people or things to receive financial care. So the next thing he uses is an ox, and then he uses the temple in Jerusalem to help them to see what he's talking about. First, let's look at the ox. Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? He's saying, listen, guys, I'm just not saying this just as a person. The law tells us to do this very thing. What is he talking about? Verse 9 says this, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? This is interesting. This is a passage that comes out of Deuteronomy 25:4. Write it down, but you don't have to look at it now. This is basically what he's talking about. Don't muzzle the ox that treads out that treads out the corn. What's he talking about? Back in the day, the people of Israel would use an ox and they would put a big flat stone behind the ox. And they would put all of the grain, all of the wheat grains, all on a flat part of the surface of a big flat area. And the ox would walk all around that. He would pull this big heavy stone all day long. And what that big heavy stone did was it crushed the outside husks of the grain so that they could get to the inside, the part that we eat. So that flat stone, he would pull that flat stone all day long to crush those outside husks so that they could get to the part that they eat. And so the law of Moses, the Bible said, listen, if you're going to make that ox go through all that work, let him take a bite or two out of the grains that he's pulling. He's providing this for you. Let him get a bite or two here and there as he's pulling that big heavy stone. So that's kind of what he's talking about. Don't muzzle the ox. Don't keep the ox from being able to eat all this food that's right in front of him. And so verse 11 or verse 10, he says this. Or saith he, is he just talking about ox here? Or is there more behind it? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Paul says, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written. He that ploweth should plow in hope. Continuing on. Verse 10, for he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. Here's what he's talking about. Listen, guys who plow and guys who thresh the wheat, just like as an ox has a part in the reward of the harvest for what he has done in taking part in the harvest, so also a person who plows, as he takes part in growing the crops and harvesting, and as he threshes, a person threshes, he also should be able to have hope of the reward of the harvest. If he works, if he's part of the harvest, working towards it, let him enjoy a reward, an expectation of the reward when the harvest comes. And this is what he's talking about there. And verse 11 says this, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If you're going to let, in the same way, if we've been part of the work of the spiritual harvest, if we have sown to you spiritual, life-changing, eternal things, if we've been part of giving you an eternal harvest, is it too big a deal that we in turn reap from you temporary physical ways to take care of our needs? See where Paul's getting at here? See what he's talking about? And finally, Paul points to the priests who work at Jerusalem. And I got to hurry. Verse 13 and 14. See, this was a lot. I mean, I haven't even gotten to the second part. So this, you can see why next week is really, really important. Verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? He's talking about Levites. Levites were God-appointed Levites to take care of the temple. They were responsible for all the maintenance, all the behind the scenes work, making sure that everything was taken care of, that building, that amazing place called the temple. And they did all of the maintaining so that the people of Israel had a place to go to where they could worship God. That's the Levites. But also the second part, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. It wasn't just the Levites who worked at the temple and did all the maintenance jobs, but also the priests. The priests were the ones who helped the Israelites to offer sacrifices to God, to help them to be in place, to be like the mediator between God and man and God. And they were the ones who were helping the Israelite nation to worship God. And so in both roles, in the Levites and maintaining and the priests and helping sacrificing, they were serving the nation of Israel in their spiritual worship of God. And in turn, their physical needs were cared for by the people of Israel. And so verse 14 says this, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In the same way, Paul says, this is what Jesus has designed for the church. Let those who care for the spiritual needs of those they serve in the church have their physical needs met in the same way. So, up until now, Paul has been talking, making the first point of his two-part statement. This is really important. All of this is going to tie into what we've seen about withholding our right to serve one another a lot better. And this is what we're going to look at in more detail next week. But let me give you a quick hint as to what it is, because in verse 12 and verse 15, he talks about it. Verse 12, he says this, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Other guys take care of this, have this right, shouldn't we also? But he says this, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. We have this right, but we have chosen not to use it. Verse 15 says the similar thing, but I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should so be done unto me. He's saying, listen, I never said one word about having you take care of my finances. And this is true. When Paul was in Corinth, he and Barnabas worked as tent makers to take care of their financial needs while they served the church. And there's an amazing reason behind it that we get to look at next week. That's what our second part of this sermon is. But that being said, let me just share something personal with you as a pastor of our church family. Last week and this week are kind of special weeks for us. Last week, we began our 20th year of serving Akigawa here in Japan, serving Akigawa Baptist Church. We are beginning our 20th year of serving here. And this coming week, in a couple of days, will be I'll start my eighth year of pastoring Akigawa Baptist Church. And Bethany and I were looking back and just seeing all the ways that God has taken care of us and all the ways that He allowed us to be part of serving the church family. And it's just been amazing. And it's our desire and it's our hope by God's grace and by His sustaining us that in the same way that we've been able to serve for the last 20 years, that God gives us another 20, 30 years to serve the body of Christ here at Akigawa Baptist Church. We beg and we ask God to continue to help us as we serve the church family. But part of my job as pastor is also to make sure that our church family is cared for and is taught and is trained in how to care for and how to continue to grow even after I'm gone. My desire and my hope is that God continues to help us to serve for another 20, 30 years, but I don't know the future. God may choose to call me home. He may choose to call me back to America. He may choose to call me back to heaven. I don't know the future. But I do know that I can help you in preparing for the future. And if something like that happens to me, and that would also be part of God's plan for my life, and as I submit to that, also I pray and hope that this will be a passage, this passage right here is something that you recognize and you realize as you find a new pastor. If that time ever, Lord willing, it doesn't, but if it does, if in your new pastor, remember this passage as you bring somebody in so that you also are part of taking care of that new pastor as well. So this is something to think about, maybe not now, but in the future, if ever this happens, if ever this comes to a point where it's needed, that you make sure that the new pastor's needs are met and that you care and love for the new pastor in the same way that you all have loved and cared for me and Bethany and Tyler and Brianna and Asher as well. And so that's my challenge to you today. And Lord willing, we'll continue to be here for a very, 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 very long time. But if God calls us home, no. And you choose to bring in another pastor, remember this passage. Care and love for them by meeting their physical needs as they care and love for you by meeting your spiritual needs. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the ways you care for us. You are good. You are such a good shepherd to us. As we love and serve one another in this way, in the same way that you have loved and served us, even in this first part of Paul's major explanation that he talks about, help us to see ways in which we can love and serve one another even more, and give us the grace to grow. Help us to grow in this grace of caring for others. Help us to do that, please. Thank you for the ways you care for us. Thank you for how you love us and how you have come to save us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.